This is Solly and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports.
Come on in and stay a while. You're listening to Sully and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports, brought to you by the I-95 Sports and Entertainment Network and Mile High Radio in Denver. A modified version of the show this week, because not only is it a combination of the regular show and the football show due to time constraints and the playoffs going on in Major League Baseball, it is actually now the Sully and Jeff show. Yeah, I know. Danny and Steve both had prior commitments tonight. They are not here. So, you got to deal with just us two tonight. I know it's not...
Wonderful.
Well...
It's not the best scenario.
But hey,
it's a scenario that we're dealt with.
Yeah, exactly. It is what it is. It's what we
for
got.
For better, for worse, and everything in between.
And you got to just deal with it. So, a lot going on in the sports world.
Yeah, but you know that football music playing right behind us, or that just played.
Yeah.
We got to start off with the NFL.
Why? I thought we were going to end with the NFL because we were going to do Pigskin Pick to close out the show.
Sorry, the music was playing.
Fine, we'll close out the show with Pigskin Pick'em anyway.
Yes.
So we'll talk the NFL, we'll talk the baseball playoffs, then we'll get into Pigskin Picks.
Yes.
And if you had told me a couple months ago
that Jerry Jones is going to have a stiff idea about the whole national anthem thing, you thought I'd be crazy? No,
yeah.
Because it was going to happen.
Well, no, I kind of figured Jerry Jones would flip-flop like this. It's Jerry Jones.
Yes.
So what happened anyway?
It's just that he has a stance about like how it's, you know, we have to like make something... And take away the whole politic idea in sports, the politics idea, and, you know, this is a professional business and all that type of stuff.
So it's like
an independent company that has its own rules and things like that, and we can't have these players protest because it's just causing a lot of financial turmoil for the NFL. You know, you have more ratings dropping, you have more public outcry saying that fans aren't watching the NFL. So it's a horrible catch-22 that's going on between this thing, like, with all these players' rights and, like, freedom of speech, but it's also, like, it's their business. They can't have this, or they're... You have advertisers concerned now about the ratings and...
Because everything
comes
tanking.
Down... Well, yeah, it's all coming down to the dollar now. And, unfortunately, these protests is harming the dollar to the NFL.
And the NFL's all about making money at this point. They're now the only sports entity, or anything for that matter, that actually officially owns a day of the week.
Exactly.
And first of all, I'm surprised it took an owner this long to finally say something. Second of all, I'm not surprised that it happened to be that owner. And it's Jerry Jones. He's probably one of the most outspoken owners / general managers in the entire, not only NFL, but in the entire sports world. Because if you think about a lot of the owners that have a certain level of flamboyancy to them. For argument's sake, you got James Dolan with the Knicks. You got Mark Cuban in Dallas.
I don't think James Dolan is that flamboyant.
But the two names...
An owner, no. But as the lead singer of JD and the Straight Shots,
yes.
Yes.
But talking strictly owners, the two names that usually pop up immediately are Jerry Jones and Mark Cuban.
Yeah, I mean, well, also Mark Cuban has several other ventures that, you know, allow him to be in front of the camera.
Right. So now, Jerry Jones is outspoken about this. I'm surprised it took somebody so long to finally say, let's take politics out of the NFL already, and let's take it out of sports.
Now the discussion goes from where we had Colin Kaepernick doing the protests for violence, from cops.
Yeah.
Then the conversation moved to, this is against the army, the flag means for the army, and now it's about freedom of speech to the players. That's what's coming to now.
Well, no, now it was all, part of it also was the NFL saying in no uncertain terms, screw you to Donald Trump for Trump running his mouth in an area which he shouldn't have.
A president should be more presidential like that, but I don't want to get into that.
I know.
That's just my view, is that the president shouldn't tell some people
how
to live their lives and like saying, if they don't say anything, then they should be fired.
No, he's got his own
problems. The problem is that he was
about.
Just thinking as a businessman and not as a political leader.
Right, which is what he should be doing at all times, especially now.
Yeah, especially since he holds the highest office.
Exactly.
But that's just all I'm going to say about that.
I know, let's forget about
exactly.
it, because this ain't a political show. This is a sports talk show.
Yes.
Jerry Jones voiced his feelings about what the players should do. I've been saying this the whole time. The players should just stand for the national anthem. Look, I know you're wanting to make a protest about the problems in the world. You got it off on the right foot. Now let somebody else take it and run with it. And you should just concentrate on doing your job, which is something that most fans probably dreamed of doing when we were kids.
But it's also sad that something that is a political right, an idea, is getting more negative press in the NFL than all the crimes and all the issues that players are involved in with all the drugs and all the gun violence and all, like, the Aaron Hernandez thing. Like, yes, that had some public outcry, but it didn't get to this magnitude.
No.
And, you know, all the, who was that Browns player? Gordon.
Melvin Gordon?
No. The receiver that keeps on getting busted for a week.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon.
That's his first name?
Hold on.
It's not him. But you know who I'm saying, though.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking
about. Josh Gordon.
That's it.
Yeah, Josh Gordon. So, like, that doesn't have the big outcry, even though I don't understand how weed it should be an issue anymore in the year 2017. But, again, that's a whole other point. And then, you know, you had, you know, these gun issues with Plaxico Burress, and you have all these other type of stuff. Just you can list a whole myriad of issues. And that, I mean, even Adrian Peterson with the switch issue, and also with the punch and domestic abuse. But somehow, a protest with your
taking a knee
political
the
right of freedom of speech gets this most issue. That's also what's ass backwards with
it's
this.
It's the NFL. They've been doing everything ass backwards for the past decade when it comes to off the field issues.
Yeah, but somehow it still gives them news, it gives them to talk about, and now the NFL is 24/7, 365 days a year.
Which is kind of sad, but because there are other sports that should be enjoyed, like the baseball playoffs, like what's going on in the NHL the first couple days. I'm just using that as an argument. What could go on with the NBA?
Besides the U.S. men's national soccer team that really failed against Trinidad and Tobago and won't be able to participate in the World Cup this 2018.
Which is something that hasn't happened since, I think, the 80s.
86, yeah.
Yep.
So, unfortunately.
Well, hey, at least we got the women. The women's soccer team.
But that's a big hit. That drew a lot of big numbers across the country.
Yeah.
When they participated.
Yeah, it's because they're actually good. They're actually good. Unlike the New York Giants, who are now 0-5 on the year.
Okay, let's move on to the New York Giants.
Let's talk actual football.
Yes.
It's bad enough that the Giants are 0-5. It's even worse now that their two best receivers are done for the year.
One game, three wide receivers, their top three, out.
And two of which are done for the year. Odell Beckham Jr. and Brandon Marshall both had to have surgeries for fractured ankles. Sterling Shepard is just a sprain. I think he'll be back in a couple of weeks. I don't know the exact extent of Sterling Shepard's injury, but as somebody who's gone through a fractured ankle, you know I went through it last year.
Yes.
Luckily for me, mine didn't require surgery. It just had to be in a cast for 5 weeks and then in a walking boot for another six. So I don't think what happened to those two guys, I think, might have actually been worse than what I did. Granted, it's also different scenarios, I know, but I know what it's like to fracture an ankle. It's not fun. It hurts like hell.
What did the Giants do to deserve this?
I don't know. I don't know.
I know you said jokingly yesterday that it was punishment for Odell Beckham to do the whole dog thing.
It might have been. No, yeah, we were talking about that last night.
Yeah, just joking around.
Yeah, no.
Shooting the breeze.
Exactly. And as much as I often say I want Tom Brady to get hurt, I say that jokingly. I never want anybody to get hurt. No. I said that's a Jet fan in me who hates the Patriots. But I never want to see anybody get hurt. NFL, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, it doesn't matter. I don't want to see anybody get hurt because, hey, not only are these professional athletes, but they're human beings just like us. Granted, they happen to be a lot better at playing sports than we are, but still, they're human beings nevertheless. They got personal stuff that's going on that could be affecting their lives, and now Beckham and Marshall are hurt and done for the year. And I'm trying to remember, somebody posted this on ESPN. I think it was Von Miller might have said it.
Yes.
He still thinks that Odell Beckham Jr. should be the highest paid receiver. It was Von Miller. Now, again, and we'll get back to the Giants' loss to the formerly winless San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers, whatever the hell you want to call them.
And you said what? About to say St. Louis?
No, I said San Diego.
Okay.
I started to say San Diego, but then I stopped myself and I'm like, it's the LA Chargers.
Yeah,
but anyway, so before we get to that,
I was about to give you wrongs on all those bases.
No, I know.
But anyway.
Before we get to what happened with the Chargers, the fact that Von Miller thinks that Odell should be the highest paid receiver in football, and I've said this numerous times, I don't care if I'm beating a dead horse here. He's got the talent. There's no argument there. Why do you think I always put him third behind Antonio Brown and Julio Jones as the best receiver in football?
Wait, but you forgot.
What?
You forgot about Antonio Bryant.
Yep.
Yeah, some drunken lady on the train was saying how Odell Beckham is the best player behind what she was supposed to say Antonio Brown, but got Dez Bryant and Antonio mixed up into Antonio Bryant. So, oh, yeah. Boy, that was a fun
all
train
the strange
ride,
things you'll hear on radio.
I was coming
home
from New York Comic Con, and at the same time was the Giants game, a disappointing Giants
game. You got stuck on that train?
One of the trains,
I am so sorry, bro.
I mean, what can you do?
Well, I made for an entertaining train ride, though.
Just that one person.
Yeah. Well, no, this happened to me last year. This was, it was right around Christmas time. The Jets were playing in Miami. The Knicks were at the Garden. And the Islanders were playing at the Barclays Center. And I was going into the city just to hang out. And I got stuck on a train with all of that.
Yeah, it's always an interesting beast to be around depressed fans.
Yes, it is. But hey, there's no more depressed fans, I think, in New York right now than Giants fans. They're 0-5, and I don't think anybody could have seen that coming with the way this Giants team was supposed to be stacked up. Now, with Marshall and Beckham done for the year, you got Lewis Rogers and Tavares King. Roger Lewis and Tavares King as the two primary receiving options now for Eli Manning to go along with Sterling Shepard whenever Sterling comes back.
Unfortunately, I got to say who. Who?
Yeah, exactly. You got to deal with those guys. And the Giants,
were they practice squad players?
Pretty much.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's what it got down to at that point. But, I mean, Eli finished today going, this is the Charger game, he went 21-36, 225, two touchdowns and a pick. He was outplayed by Philip Rivers. He went 21-44, 258, three scores and a pick. And Melvin Gordon, 20 carries for 105 yards and no touchdowns. I mean, Keenan Allen had himself an all right day. He had 67 yards receiving. But it's just, I don't know what it is with this Giants team. First, it's a crappy offense the first 2 weeks, and then three-fourths of the football game against Philly. The offense finally showed up in the fourth quarter. They catch a bad break with the way they lost the game against Tampa on the Nick Folk field goal, who, by the way, crapped the bed for Tampa again this week. And then now you get a bad break, literally, with your two best receivers breaking their ankles and being done for the year. So for everything that the Giants have done, and this coming off a team who went 11-5 last year, was a playoff team last year as a wild card contender. They ended up getting bounced in the first round, but still they made the playoffs. And there is another way to look at it. This could be the football gods getting back at Odell for what happened last year before the playoffs and going down to party in Miami.
No,
you don't think so?
No, because they lost that game.
Yeah, I know.
That's all you need.
Yeah, so you think just the straight up loss was redemption enough for being idiots?
I don't care if it was redemption or not. It's just unfortunate that it turned out that way. But the way that's going, it seems like the Giants are going to be the team in New York that might be looking for a top quarterback at the end of the season going into the draft. Because also you have Eli Manning that's going to be in his getting up there in age, getting later into his 30s, getting even closer to 40, and now would be a good time for them to pick up a quarterback of the future.
Yes, it is, because they don't have one.
Just talk about, if you want to look at it this way, great timing.
Exactly.
To suck that bad, to get what I've heard, potentially three quarterbacks that could be in the top 10.
There's no doubt about it. I mean,
even though, you know, of course, there's no guarantee that they'll pan out to be a top quarterback in the league, but to have that opportunity to even do so. Now, I also heard that if the Giants get a high pick, that they should go ahead and help draft an offensive line instead of getting a quarterback with your top pick.
Well, that depends on how many picks you come out of the first round. Let's say, for argument's sake, you get two, then yeah, quarterback and an offensive line help.
But your first pick should be a quarterback and not an offensive line.
You have to, because you're going to have, I think this is going to be a quarterback-heavy draft from what everybody's been saying leading up to it, and Eli's not getting any younger. He's 36.
The problem, though, is that, like I can see the side of, you know, thinking about an offensive line. Offensive lineman is that, look what's happening with Indianapolis when Andrew Luck was there, when he has no offensive line. Look how horribly hurt he's been.
Yeah, now
throughout his career,
they're doing okay with Jacoby Brissett, and him and T.Y. Hilton have been able to keep Indianapolis in it.
Yeah, no, but still, like they have a horrible offensive line,
which is why Luck is so banged up all the time.
Yeah, so it's like you get this great quarterback of the future in Andrew Luck, but without any protection up front, and you do nothing about it at all, then what?
What good is it going to do you?
Yeah, so I mean, that's a thought, but I guess if you want to help nurture him in the next few years, let Eli play out for the rest of his contract. I don't know how long that contract is.
I think it's 2 more years. I think.
All right. So let Eli play for the let's say they get one of the top quarterbacks.
Yeah.
All right. And you let Eli play the last year, so you know that kid gets experience. I know some people say throw the kid in, but let Eli play throughout the rest of his Giant career, and then worry about getting an offensive lineman in that second year if the Giants do still suck the following year in 2018.
Trust me, there's going to be plenty of potential for the Giants to suck in the next couple of years if they don't get the offensive line fixed. That's really going to be their biggest problem. I mean, the biggest name I'm hearing thrown around is Sam Darnold, the quarterback out of USC.
Yes.
So if the Giants want to, the Giants this year, I think, are now going to start taking the Jets approach to it and tank, because really at 0-5,
Well, the problem is that you don't want to say tank, but they already done the tanking.
Pretty much. I mean,
it wasn't by intentional. Intentional at all.
The Jets were supposed to be the intentional tanking. That didn't happen. Look what it's got down.
Yeah, I know. 3 wins. And, you know, as a Jet fan, for you, you should be very happy about your team.
I'm loving it right now.
I mean, it's tough when you're in Jets position, because you thought that they're going to get guaranteed to get that pick going into the season. And now they're in the first 5 games, got 3 wins, a 3-game winning streak, by the way.
I know. It's fantastic. But now, here's the thing. If you had told me that the Giants were going to start the year off 0-5, and the Jets in Week 6 were going to be playing the New England Patriots with first place on the line in the AFC East, I would have thought you were completely best.
You just made the list!
Yeah, thank you for that one.
Yeah, I know, I'm sorry. That's the only time I'm doing it. I know, I got Jericho yelling at me, but that's... I would have thought you were nuts, honestly, with the way that whole thing started out. But now, you got 3 wins, and you're coming off a win in a game where you flat out probably should have lost it the way they played against Cleveland on Sunday. Don't get me wrong. You know, Josh McCown had an okay day, went 22 of 30, 194, 2 touchdowns and a pick.
It's amazing how this wandering veteran quarterback is able to really keep the Jets offense together and able to progress, you know, being a stable force for that team.
Yeah, but at the same argument, we tried making that same argument 2 years ago with Ryan Fitzpatrick. It happened the 1 year. It was like the flash in the pan, and they almost made the playoffs had they not blown it against Buffalo the last day of the season.
But here's the thing, though. It's like that Josh McCown and Coach Todd Bowles probably are doing the best that they can and getting the most out of all the other position players right now.
And I'm not... And
even if they lose the rest of the season, you got to say that they did a very good job and showed that this team plays hard. Yeah, this team always plays every down hard.
And I've contended this for a while. It doesn't look good for the Jets the rest of the way, honestly.
Of course not.
With some of the teams they're going to deal with, they still have to play the Pats twice, this Sunday and New Year's Eve. They're going to deal with Miami again, Buffalo again, Atlanta, Tampa, Carolina, Kansas City, Denver, New Orleans, and the Chargers. Out of that list, I can only possibly see in there one more win.
I can see two.
Two? Okay.
Both of them are in the same division.
No, I can't see the two. I'm not
talking about the Patriots either.
Yeah, Buffalo and Miami.
Yeah, I could
see one win out of those two. The other win would be beating the Chargers the second to last game of the season.
Yeah.
I could see them beating the Chargers because of how bad the Chargers are, and the Jets have shown that they've done what they're supposed to do against the bad teams. They did it against the Browns. They did it against Miami, who's a bad team. They did it against Jacksonville, who's been a Jekyll and Hyde team this year.
Yeah, I know, especially since they beat up on Pittsburgh of all teams.
I know. I mean, there's been a couple of Jekyll and Hyde teams this year. There's been Jacksonville.
It's been all defense with Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and Leonard Fournette. Cannot forget about Leonard Fournette, because he had a monster week last week against
just
Big
jumping
Ben.
Over that all of that Pittsburgh defensive line for that touchdown. Jeez,
I know.
Yes.
Well, Fournette finished.
We don't have time for stats.
181 rushing yards.
Okay,
but then again, there was the 5 picks that Big Ben threw too, which certainly didn't help his cause.
Jacksonville has a studded defense.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not taking that away from them.
No.
They've been good.
Yeah.
I mean, the NFL's had a few weird moments this year. I mean, Green Bay's playing like Green Bay. And we talked about rookie quarterback class. You got a couple of decent ones. You had this Sean Kizer, who got beat up by the Jets. And you had a decent outing from Mitch Trubisky Monday night.
Yeah.
Against Minnesota.
Who seems to be
improve it. I mean, the Vikings ain't going to go away quietly. You kind of figured that was going to happen.
No, but it doesn't seem like it's in the cards for them.
I know. Oh, and speaking of the Cardinals.
Oh, okay. Thanks for saying Cards and Cardinals.
Speaking of the Cards, they have themselves a new running back. Adrian Peterson.
I guess that was a trade?
Yeah, the Saints traded Adrian Peterson after a month.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was twofold. I think it was partially the fact that clearly Adrian Peterson wasn't working out the way he'd hoped in New Orleans, because Adrian Peterson is an old-school style running back in that he just runs the football, unlike a lot of running backs in the NFL now who can not only run the football but can also catch the ball too. Catching passes out of the backfield wasn't exactly a strength of Adrian Peterson, unlike, say, for argument's sake, Le'Veon Bell or even David Johnson. But Johnson's hurt. The Cardinals needed a running back. They let go Chris Johnson, the former Jet, and decided to pluck Adrian Peterson out of nowhereville in New Orleans because he wasn't doing anything with the Saints.
Good for him.
So, yeah.
Good for the Cardinals for trying.
Well, hey, they got to figure out something new. They're getting buried in that division behind Seattle and the LA Rams, so go figure, right?
Yeah, right. And what are you doing? Are you trying to peek over the time?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Okay.
Don't worry. I got you covered.
I know. I wasn't sure, though, because you looked somewhat distracted at something else going on here in the studio.
No. I was looking at the screen right here.
Okay. So do you want to shift over to baseball talk?
A little bit. I mean, just I don't know how you, I guess so. I was trying to think of how to round up the whole NFL. It seems like we're just, like, firing through everything for no apparent reason. Like, I thought we'd talk a little bit more about the Jets, but I guess there's really nothing else to say.
There is nothing really else to say. They came away with a win over a bad Cleveland Browns team.
You know what that led to then, right?
Yes, it did. Well, thank you very much, Danny. I got free food out of him again. Third time in four bets I've made with Danny, I've won. It's like, hey, I give Danny credit for at least sticking by his gumption and sticking with repeatedly wanting to stick with the Cleveland Browns, even though he knows good and well the Browns are going to suck.
And if Dan was here, we would do the how could it get any worse for the New York Giants.
Yeah, but, well, you know what? The hell with it. In Dan's honor, let's do that now.
I don't know how it can get any worse, but here we go.
Oh, how can it get any worse?
I like how it just turned to this sporadic.
Yeah, I know. It's great, though, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, hey, we gave plenty of time to this for Cleveland last year, so now let's throw the Giants in there.
Okay. How can it get any worse? New York Giants edition.
Well, let's see. Eli Manning could catch fire in the end zone.
Okay, no, let's be realistic here.
All right.
Eli Manning in the realm of possibility.
All right, Eli Manning.
Spontaneously combusting all of a sudden as he runs through the end zone.
Is it going to happen?
And they see flames coming out of his helmet.
Yeah.
Not happening.
But he could try to drop back the pass, and as he's in the middle of throwing, snap his arm.
Well, okay.
He could snap his arm while he's trying to throw a pass, and to make matters worse, guess who your backup is? Dun dun dun! Geno Smith.
Oh my God! And then Geno Smith actually gives them a winning record.
Geno Smith goes unbeaten the rest of the way.
That would be hilarious.
First throw.
So they're in the myriad of mediocrity.
Yep.
And they won't get a good quarterback.
Yeah. So. And they get it. This all kicks off when they go to Denver this weekend.
Oh, my God.
Because they're playing the Broncos in Denver this week.
And that Broncos defense has done nothing for any opposing offensive running team.
So, yeah, now.
Running game at all.
Exactly. Now, the first play, Von Miller snaps Eli Manning's arm. You have to go with Geno Smith. And watch this. Giants luck. Geno Smith will turn the team around, lead them on an 11-game winning streak, and they'll win the division.
God, just imagine the last game was against the Redskins. Is it against the Redskins?
I think so. Let me double
check. No, you don't need to double check. It's definitely against the divisional opponent, and it's for the season. It's probably the Eagles, actually. That's my guess.
We're going to find out right now.
Okay, so just look it up right now. Who is it?
You were right the first time.
Okay, Washington.
It's Washington.
Yeah, for the season. And it's like, but they need some luck, and they make the playoffs, but then they just die.
Geno turns into Geno and throws four picks.
In the playoffs.
Yep. No, Geno doesn't even do that in the playoffs. He does it against Washington. God. They miss out going 10-6.
Oh, God. And they just end up in the middle of the pack with just no really good first-round pick.
Yep. Well, it could also be worse. They could have a new kicker. His name Nick Folk. The reason I say that is
why would you sign Nick Folk?
Because he's been horrible.
I know, but then why would you sign him?
They don't sign him. They trade him from Tampa. They send
Stone. Why would you get him?
Here's how it could get worse. They pick up Nick Folk from Tampa for Sterling Shepard. That's how it could get worse.
Why? That's just unrealistic. Why would you trade Sterling Shepard for Nick Folk?
You wouldn't, but that's how it could get worse.
Yes, it would get worse.
Jerry Reese could lose his mind and send Sterling Shepard to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, because he's just trying to save his job, which is not that...
happening.
No.
He's on thin ice right now.
All right, how could it get any worse for the Giants? God, I don't know. How could it get any worse? Let's see. They try to take a knee on their first win, but the center fumbles, botches a snap, and Denver gets the ball and runs it for a touchdown. Game-winning touchdown.
Fumble reception.
Yeah.
Fumble recovery with time expiring.
Fumble recovery to the house.
90 plus yards.
No, it doesn't matter where it is.
But yeah,
because it was in the victory formation. Center botches the snap.
That could get worse. All right, so
six losses.
Because it's the Giants, we decided to go with it this week. That's how it could get worse.
Well, this is the end.
I miss that deflating Squidward.
Yeah, I know. Well, hey, the Giants brought that on themselves with Marshall and Odell getting hurt.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens.
So now we can go on to the playoffs.
Yeah. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
We're not doing that.
Well, I had to anyway. We're going. Yes, it is playoff talk.
Boo.
Two of the divisions.
Bad setup.
Yeah, I know. Two have already been decided. The Los Angeles Dodgers and Houston Astros, respectively, have moved on to their league championship series.
Can we say the Houston Altuves?
Yeah. Altuve hit the cover off the ball the entire series. Hit three home runs in the first game. Drove in like five runs, and I think he was hitting close to 600 for the playoffs.
For that round, yeah.
So, yeah, Jose Altuve was in a bit of a groove. Oh, hell, I'll say it. Jose Altuve was feeling it.
Feeling what?
Well, he was feeling up Boston pitching, apparently, because he beat the Tigers. He was feeling it.
Feeling
it. There you go.
There we go, yes.
Yeah. So, Altuve was in a bit of a groove in the divisional round, and that's putting it nicely. I'm just trying to get the exact batting average. It's here somewhere. Yeah,
I like how with the playoff batting average, they have Jonathan Lucroy with the highest average, and he only played one game.
That's combined, though. That's including the wild card. If you look strictly at divisional round, the two highest batting averages, Hanley Ramirez of Boston hit .571. Jose Altuve hit .533 with three home runs and four RBIs. The three home runs came in the opener.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for him. Good for Houston.
I know. It's great to see the Astros actually go this far. And also, to help
take the mind off J.J. Watt being injured for the rest of the season for the Houston Texans. So it's good for the Astros to at least let the Houston crowd, cheer for...
It gives them something good to cheer for because let's face facts, the Texans suck. At least from a sporting perspective anyway. And not only that, but if you look at all the stuff that's actually gone on in the city of Houston this year... I think they needed something positive to rally behind. And the Astros have been that driving force to give the city something to believe in again, kind of like what happened with the marathon shooting in Boston a few years ago.
Yep.
So, Altuve knocked the cover off the ball. Keuchel, I think, pitched pretty well in that series. He had an ERA, I believe, under one.
Okay, good for him.
Yeah, it's typical Dallas Keuchel, though I'm not surprised. So... Houston's moving on. Who they will face is to be determined. Oh, by the way, Keuchel's ERA was 1.59.
Okay, cool.
So, who they will face is to be determined as the New York Yankees and Cleveland Indians have gone the distance. They're playing Game 5 as we're doing this show. Game 5 will already be over by the time this show hits the airwaves. And I will have a full preview of the blog, a full preview of the League Championship Series on the blog, ssonsports.blogspot.com. But the fact that the Yankees have come back from down 2-0 in the series, and we're at last check leading 1-0 on a Didi Gregorius home
still
run.
Still 1-0, third.
All right, so we're in the third. It's still 1-0. Who's pitching for Cleveland tonight? Kluber?
Yeah.
All right.
And you know who's pitching for the Yankees?
CC Sabathia?
Yes.
Wow.
Not Sonny Gray.
Yeah. I was a little surprised with the decision that they went with to go with Luis Severino the other night.
Why? No, that's his normal spot. Well, why would he be surprised?
Because of what happened to him in the wild card game.
Well, he had to redeem himself. You can't, like, shut him down.
No, I'm not saying that.
So how are you surprised?
I'm surprised it took him this long to rediscover his game again.
You make it seem like he's been in a rut for, like, the entire month of September.
He was in a rut for the entire month of October at the start. But
he just had one game.
I know. That's a rut to me. You have one bad outing, you got to redeem yourself. No, to me you do. You got to redeem yourself after one bad outing.
I understand it, but you made it seem like this long run. It was just a bad outing.
Yeah.
That was it.
But I wasn't sure if that was Luis Severino and how he was going to pitch in the playoffs, or if we were going to get...
This was his only start in the playoffs.
Hold on, let me finish my thought.
You make it seem like, he's always pitched horribly in the playoffs. He just had one start.
Yeah.
Stop telling
if you hold on a second, I can finish my thought. Is this... the playoff version of Luis Severino, was it a flash in the pan? And it turned out it was a flash in the pan because Luis Severino pitched like Yankee fans and baseball fans have come to expect from him this year when he threw 7 1/3 in the last outing against Cleveland. So I was like, okay, was the wild card game just a hiccup on the screen or is something wrong with him? It was a hiccup on the screen.
Okay.
That's the argument I was getting at.
Okay.
So... He gave up the exact same number of runs and hits in the game against Cleveland that he did in a third of an inning in the wild card game.
Much better performance.
Absolutely.
A good performance. Not a stellar, not an outstanding, but, a very serviceable performance that gave the Yankees the 2-2 series tied heading back to Cleveland. And good. But the thing is that, like, now when you hear on the radio that how Yankee fans are like, if Joe Girardi did not botch up game two the way he did, we would have won series.
All right, there's no guarantee of that.
I know. I mean, that's the problem. Like, you want to hear about, how excited Yankees are for game five, bringing it back. But most of the time was talking about if Joe Girardi should be resigned or, like, how he was booed horrendously at game three.
Stop worrying
bad
about that.
Bad Yankee fans, bad. That is a horrible thing to do.
Thank you.
I mean, I understand that game two is fresh in mind, but why do you have to boo him? And they want a new manager. Who are the Yankees going to hire? I mean, someone who's kept the Yankees relevant during their mini transition, and also him being part of the brain trust that is the Yankees higher management and scouting staff, able to keep this team with great players, developing players. I mean, if I was the Mets, I would love to have this scenario right now in terms of, like, not being irrelevant for all this time and able to have, like, another four superstars coming up four years after Jeter.
Yeah, and you've got the superstars. You've got Aaron Judge. You've got Greg Bird. You've got Gary Sanchez. You got Didi finally replacing Jeter at short.
And yet these Yankee fans expect, like... After their August 1st transactions, them thinking that they should have won. Yeah, going all for it. And then, somehow... it's because of the manager that...
No.
That's helped keep this team up and keep this young team very... heads cool and all that stuff.
I'll give Girardi credit.
It happens. And yes, he has to live with it, but he's done a much better job. He's done more great than bad. And
exactly.
The problem is that the Yankee fans are thinking about the bad and thinking that's what's wrong with this team,
which it isn't. The fact that they're even here in a Game 5 in Cleveland in the divisional round, if you had told me that at the start of the year, I would have thought you were nuts. Because I would have thought, and I did think this at the start of the year, the Yankees would finish 500 and miss the playoffs. I thought the Yankees, I genuinely thought that was going to happen in the Bronx. But they've managed to be able to turn it around. And I think because there's such a level of expectations, 27 World Championships has a lot to do with that, which is why the Yankees are where they are. And why Yankee fans believe that, because they're so used to winning and they're so used to being so good. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. Trust me, if the shoe was on the other foot and it had been the Mets that had been that good, I'd be probably feeling the same way the Yankee fans do. But it's not. That's what the Yankee fans are used to. They expect to win every year because the Yankees have that reputation of being this good. We're the best. We deserve to be the best.
And that's it. And here's the thing. If the Yankees do win this, which they're up now 3-0.
It's 3-0 now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what happened later. But if the Yankees do win this, you're going to have fans that, the players won it in spite of Joe Girardi.
No.
You know how dumb that is?
The players want it because of Joe Girardi.
With Joe Girardi. Not because. With Joe Girardi and with the players executing.
Exactly. Now, it wasn't Girardi's fault for not challenging. It was the player's fault for, it was the bullpen's fault for not being able to hold the lead in game two.
Yes,
that's why they lost game two.
You could say that, yes, he could have challenged, but also the players have to execute as well. It's not a one-way street here.
Exactly. You got to be able to pull it off, and you can't. So if you can't pull it off, then the manager, it's not the manager's fault that the players couldn't do it. Girardi can only make a certain amount of moves. He's not the one who's physically moving Aroldis Chapman to make him throw the ball. He's not the one physically moving Aaron Judge to rob the guy of the home run in game three. He's not the one doing that. He's the one telling Judge to go play out there. Judge has to be the one out there making the catch.
And if the Yankees do let go of Joe Girardi, I heard someone saying that the Mets are eyeing the situation very closely.
Why wouldn't you?
Exactly. If I were the Mets, I would go after him. All right, so again, it's a Didi Gregorius home run.
I'm not surprised.
Two-run home run for Didi.
And it's... This always happens at playoff time. When you need somebody to step up, if your big guns aren't doing it, you get somebody like Didi to do it.
Talk about transition from Derek Jeter and, like,
It's not even so much that.
I don't care what you're saying now, because I was just saying, like, how seamless of a transition it was for Didi DeGrois to replace Jeter, and now he's become his own great shortstop that the Yankees have. In his own way.
Yeah, and that's not to say that Didi wasn't a great shortstop before coming to New York. He was.
No, he had some issues. Well, he, you know, much younger, like a few years in, you know, he had some issues and all that type of stuff. But, you know, he's really developed, and you got to thank the Yankees coaching staff and also Girardi.
Yeah, Didi's had a solid career in the majors. He spent plenty of time in pro baseball. He's been playing now 6 years. He spent 3 years with the Yankees. After spending two in the desert in Arizona and one with the Reds.
Imagine if the Yankees do win this, how horrible this will be for Cleveland. They are up 2-0. They are gifted a great present from a horrible Kluber outing to an amazing win.
And
to go up 2-0 and then to lose three straight, which no one thought was possible with this Cleveland team, to win 21 games in a row,
22
games in a row.
102 wins on the year, second best record
second
in baseball.
Best, okay, and to have it for naught, to lose it to the Yankees, who were down 0-2 again, 0-2.
They look dead going back to the stadium for game three. Even I said that, I'm like, the Yankees could win. The Yankees should be able to win Game 3 to get show light, but I figured Cleveland would kick the crap out of them in Game 4. But no, here we sit Game 5. The Yankees are up 3-0 right now. And as I said, sometimes in series you need a hero to step up. Jay Bruce had started to do that for Cleveland. He hit a couple of big home runs early on in the playoffs. He hit one in Game 1, and then he hit the game-tying home run in Game 2 to force extra innings. But Jay Bruce has gone quiet since then. And it's been kind of the reverse with Aaron Judge, because Judge, who had been the big bat in the Yankees lineup, had been quiet for the start of the series. Now he's starting to come around a little bit.
A little bit, but not to the level of force that we thought it was going to be.
That's okay. That's Didi. So Judge isn't into that level? Fine. Didi's picking up the slack.
Exactly. And if some of the Yankees advance, then maybe Judge will do better in the ALCS.
Who knows? Well, first things first, they got to finish this off tonight.
And their opponent will be the Houston Astros, as we said.
Yep.
Very good team. And also now you have the LA Dodgers
who are
waiting to see who they'll face after the Nationals won 5-0 against the Chicago Cubs in Game 4 to force a Game 5.
Which should have been, today should have been the off day, but there was rain in Chicago yesterday.
You can't do anything about that.
Right, it pushed it back. Michael A. Taylor hit the Grand Slam to give Washington the 5-0 win. And now, part of me wanted to see a rematch of last year's World Series, but this time I was pulling for Cleveland because the Indians now have the longest drought in baseball, having not won a title since 1948.
Yeah, just think about that. I mean, going into the season, the Indians had all those expectations.
Yeah.
And even after that 22-game win streak, as I said, those expectations were even higher.
Yeah. It's like, all right. But then again, the same argument could have been made the last time we had a winning streak this long, especially in the American League, was the 2002 Oakland A's, who won 21 in a row, but got bounced by the Minnesota Twins in the divisional round. See a pattern here? You have a 20-plus game winning streak, you get bounced in the divisional round of the playoffs. Hopefully, Cleveland turns around that trend tonight.
Yeah,
Well, for Cleveland's sake, me personally, I could care less. My Mets aren't in it.
Yeah.
It's like, I have no emotional investment.
Yeah, I mean, you're more into hockey mode now.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm full-blown into hockey mode, but because most of my family's Yankee fans, most of the people I work with are Yankee fans, I'm showing an interest in it, and I'm keeping a closer eye on it than I normally would. Well, obviously, I have to keep an eye on it for the purposes of this show, clearly, but I'm showing now more of an emotional investment. If the Mets were in it, hockey mode would have to wait, because I'd still be in baseball mode.
Mm-hmm.
But now that the Mets are out of it, I'll keep an eye on it for the Yankees, but otherwise, eh. Call me when we get closer to Halloween when we hit Game 6 of the World Series. Then I'll care.
Yeah.
Otherwise, nah. Baseball's done to me till next March.
And let's hope in the championship series rounds that Angel Hernandez does not umpire a game.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
How does he get to umpire a game?
I think it's because he's...
A playoff game.
I think it's because of longevity and, generally speaking, he's had a...
That's the problem. It's longevity. That's stupid.
Yeah. I think he's had a fairly decent track record in the past, I think.
No.
No?
No, like, players even think he's a horrible umpire.
Yeah, I think it's mostly longevity and seniority. It's why Angel Hernandez is calling playoff games.
Yeah, okay.
Again,
that doesn't mean he should deserve it.
Huh?
Still, his body of work means he shows that he doesn't deserve it.
I know, but then again, stranger things have happened. So, who knows? Think we got
anything
more to go? Or do you want
anything
to
else? No, we could talk a little bit more about baseball. I mean... About the playoffs, if you have anything else in mind. If not, then we got to think of something before we go into Pigskin Pick'em. We're not there just quite yet.
All right. Then you want to try to do a fantasy splash?
No.
Well, actually, no. Wait a minute. Let me take that back. There is going to be another managerial change in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
Because not only are the Mets looking for a new manager with Terry Collins having resigned.
Well, he's now moving up in the Mets office.
Yeah, he's resigned as Mets manager, but he's still within the organization. The Mets are looking for a manager.
I can't believe he's been a Mets manager for seven years. That's unbelievable.
Oh, and the third Mets manager to ever win 500 games with the team.
Good for him.
The other two were Bobby Valentine and Davey Johnson.
Good for them.
And Terry Collins is the only one out of those three to have a losing record. He finished under 500 as a Mets manager.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he definitely inherited a
amazing team. He inherited a bad situation, but he was able to turn it into...
A World Series contender.
Yep, and he got him all the way to a World Series 2 years ago.
So, yeah, but... Yeah, so what's this development that you're talking about?
So now...
With managerial changes.
Yeah.
Because I think I heard about Boston.
That's exactly what I was getting to.
Okay.
The Boston Red Sox are now looking for a new manager as they will be going without John Farrell.
Just imagine if Binder Joe goes to the Red Sox.
Wow. What, Joe Girardi? Yeah. I can see that happening.
Yeah, and just imagine how Yankee fans are like, oh, look, they're with the Red Sox. Like,
Yeah, then, okay, fine, you get Binder Joe, we'll take John Farrell. Come here.
Again, like, who's going to walk in through that door to manage the Yankees? And here's the thing, that the brain trust is going in an analytical direction. That's how they've been succeeding
several
years.
They wanted to do that for a while now.
So it's going to be another person like I was about to say Joe Biden because I don't know why.
What?
I know.
Why are you talking politics on this show again?
No. I know Girardi, but my brain just had froze and just said Biden. Biden.
Sorry.
Wrong. Biden.
Okay.
Biden.
Okay.
Error.
Okay.
Error.
Okay. Calm it down, Jeff. Take a deep breath. You okay now?
No, I'm fine.
All right. Good. So yeah. No.
Error.
Gerard. Nope. No, Joe Biden. It's Joe Binder.
Yep.
Okay.
I think that's also why, because I said Joe Binder as well. Binder Joe.
All the amazing things that we...
Yeah. So Red Sox are now looking for a manager.
Yep.
And I believe that Detroit is also looking for a manager.
Yeah, I've heard Brad Ausmus might head this way, because the Tigers fired
the
Brad...
Yes.
The Tigers fired Brad Ausmus at the end of the regular season.
Yes.
I've heard his name pop up near the top of the list of at least the wanted list by Mets fans. I've also heard Robin Ventura's name thrown around, too, to possibly head this way to manage the Mets.
Hopefully his next managerial gig, Ventura, is going to be much better than his White Sox one.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. I mean... Well, he's got, I don't know, talent. He would potentially have talent to work with here in New York. I'm not concerned with him going to the Yankees because Binder Joe is going to stay there.
Well, no, the thing is that, like, you need someone to hold players accountable. That was the only problem, really, with Terry Collins, is that he had a tough time making players accountable for their actions.
And, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean,
I don't know if it's a whole managerial, like a whole front office thing as well, but
Terry was too nice of a guy at times.
I mean, that was the thing. Is like, look how, like, the pitching staff, the pitching rotation really just took things for granted and never really listened.
Yeah.
Look how Cespedes decided just to play golf when he's injured.
Yeah. And it ended up screwing him for the entire season.
So, you know.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Terry's clearly a nice guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But niceness can only get you so far.
I mean, the players fought for him and all that stuff.
Yeah, no,
I
like I said, I give them full credit for that.
All right, and we're done with the third inning.
All right, still swinging at the Yankees.
Yeah. All right.
But there's a lot of baseball left to go. I wouldn't be surprised if this game doesn't end until well after midnight.
Yeah, because it's a Yankee game.
Yeah. Seriously, all four games in the Houston series were under 3.5 hours.
Because, of course.
And every game in the Dodger series was under 3.5 hours.
Because, of course.
Yep. Why? Because it's the Yankees. The hell with logic. We'll milk everything for every damn cent we can.
Yes, of course.
So, and speaking of milking everything for every damn cent you can, Danny's doing that in fantasy football right now.
Well, we really don't have that much time for the fantasy flash, though. But why? But just quickly tell me why. All
right, I made this
just tell me that. Why is he milking?
You heard this. We made the trade for it on the air a couple weeks ago. We milked Matt Stafford out of me. He's still in first place.
Okay.
He's one of only two teams that are 5-0 in the league, yet, and now I sit in fourth. So that was the quick fantasy flash.
Okay, there you go. Thank you.
And now, since we're running low on time, let's pick a football game, shall we?
Yes.
This is the Sully and Steve on Sports Pigskin Pick'em. Turn down for what?
Pigskin Pick'em has come once again as the final segment for Sully and Steve on Sports. And boy, we sure had a crazy, crazy week of football yet again. And what do you know that the most unpredictable thing is that the Jets are on a 3-game winning streak. As that was the first game that we had for last week's pick'em. And Matt was the only one that went with the Jets. The Jets won 17-4, but it didn't matter with the point differential, so Matt got the win there. Game 2 was the Chargers at the Giants, and we all know how that turned out. All three of our hosts decided to pick the Giants wrong again. So now you have Matt with a 1-win lead. And now the third game is Seahawks at the Rams, and the Seahawks were both picked by Dan and Steve. It was 16-10. The point differential was 6. And that closest to going over without going over was Dan with 10, as I said, was his pick, and Dan wins that one. So now we have a tie with 1 win each for Matt and Dan. Now we have the Green Bay and Dallas game, which is probably the game of the week right there.
Yes, it was.
And that was a 35-31 win with a 4-point differential, and the closest without going over was Steve with 6.
All right.
So we're all tied one. Now we got the Kansas City at Houston game, which was a good game until J.J. Watt got hurt, and then it became all Kansas City after that. And both you, Matt, and Steve picked Kansas City, but the point differential was 8, which Steve got on the button.
Nice.
So Steve gets a 2-1-1 advantage.
Yeah.
And the last one is the Minnesota at Chicago game, where all of you picked the Vikings, but it was a point differential 3 with a 20-17 win by the Vikings, and both you and Steve picked 6 points, so you both got that win, but Steve then has 3 wins overall.
Steve got the win for the week.
Damn it. Yes, Steve got the win with 3 correct predictions, winning predictions. Matt, you got 2, and Dan got 1. So that leaves us with Steve now regaining his lead to 3 points over you,
and then Danny
with
behind.
8, and now Matt, you jump over 5. Danny with that second place point,
yep.
And Dan stays at 4 with that no points for last place.
All right.
So here we go to week number 6, and always we start off here with New York games.
Well, hold on, do you have the picks from our other two cohorts?
I do have the picks from our co-hosts.
All right.
And here we go with the first one I see on the docket. And that is the Patriots at the Jets. Now, do you want me to read theirs first before you?
No, I'll go first.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Okay.
All right. New England's going to win this game. The Jets are going to run out of luck because They always seem to find a way to screw things up against the Patriots. It started with the butt fumble. It's continuing through. The Jets are going to lose this game. I'll take New England by 2 touchdowns. Patriots win by 14.
Can't go in further detail because we have a little more time, and these two only gave me the scores. And
oh, they only gave scores? All right.
Yeah. Well, differential.
Because the Jets have had a history of finding new and inventive ways to shoot themselves in the foot, they'll find another
especially
way to
against
do it.
The Patriots.
Yes. They'll find another way to do it again in this game. McCown might have an okay day, but he's going to end up being a turnover machine. And Brady is, well, Brady finds a way to torch the Jets like a cheap cigar. Pats win by at least 2 scores.
So that'll be 14 or 16.
No, I go 14.
Okay. Well, here's the thing, though. Just before I read theirs, like, that Patriots defense is nothing to be really
Nothing to be overly excited about.
You just think it's going to be more of a Brady just dominates and
yes.
Perseveres up from that defense?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, it's good. As well as McCown has played, McCown is not Tom Brady.
Well, of course.
Because
otherwise McCown would be in the playoffs and would be staying with one team.
Yeah, instead of like the 9 different teams he's played for.
Exactly. So now we'll just go in order with Steve. He goes the Patriots by 26. Has no faith in the Jets whatsoever.
To a degree, I don't either, but I'm giving them a little bit of hope.
And Dan, I think, has a more realistic differential here as he goes Pats by 17.
All right, so we all picked the same game, but this is why the point differential system works out better than what we had last year.
Exactly.
And you know what? Since Danny's not here, I'll do it. Jeff, next game.
Turn down for what?
Now comes the other New York game. It's a Sunday night game. The 0-5 Giants have another primetime game, this time in Denver.
And this time, it's going to be another loss. Now, had they had their two superstar receivers, Odell Beckham Jr. and Brandon Marshall, playing, and playing the way you would expect guys of their caliber to be playing. Beckham had 97 yards receiving last week before he got hurt. Had they been playing up to their level, then okay, I would have given the Giants a little more realistic of a chance. But Denver, to a degree, has struggled this year as well. Trevor Siemian's been a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde quarterback, but Denver is still the better team. The Giants show a little bit of life, but not by much. Denver wins it by 10.
All right, and I'll say that both the other hosts picked Denver as well, and you have the same pick as Steve with 10. Dan, though, goes by 13.
All right. So, little bit of a, what's the words I'm looking for? Oh, yeah, a little bit of the old wooden
ship
known as diversity, but not by much in that game. So, let's see what else we have, Jeff. Next game.
Turn down for what?
Now, here comes the randomizer for all you kiddies out there that love this crazy portion of the segment.
It's great, though. It really is.
I don't know how the kiddies are listening to this. No, they're technologically savvy because they can find us on iTunes and on SoundCloud.
Yep. Just search Sally and Steve on Sports. Hit download, and you can take us with you wherever you go.
Exactly. And they know how to use Facebook by going to facebook.com/SallySteveOnSports.
And Twitter at @S_S_Sports.
There you go.
Yay.
So now here comes the randomizer.
Yay,
the first
technology.
First game that it picked was the Ravens hosting the Bears. The Trubisky era continues on Solly and Steve Pigskin Pick'em.
And as far as I'm concerned, the Trubisky era gets its first win. I'm taking Chicago in this game because they put up a decent fight against a surprisingly decent Minnesota Vikings team. The Ravens have looked completely out of whack this year. Joe Flacco has hit sort of a fall from grace, if you will, from the elite level quarterback I'd once pegged him to be. Joe Flacco's not there anymore. Trubisky hasn't quite hit his stride yet, and this is something else I wanted to go off on the show, but I'll probably do it next week, in that, unlike years past, we haven't seen certain quarterbacks be given enough time to mature. If Aaron Rodgers was playing now, and like just starting his career as a rookie, I don't think he would have hit the heights he has, because he had a couple years to understudy under Brett Favre. Now, if Mitch Trubisky had had more time to work under a decent quarterback, like say for argument's sake Tom Brady, his career would skyrocket. And that's not taking anything away from him. He's going to be good. But, you know, he's not quite there yet. Still, they get the win over the Bears. They get the win over the Ravens. Excuse me. Chicago wins it by a touchdown.
I would love to hear both of these explanations from the other two. Because they both pick Baltimore. I guess they think that Chicago is just a trash heap.
Yep.
A bigger trash heap than the Ravens.
So who's Steve? What's Steve's
score? Steve picked the Ravens by 13. And Dan goes Baltimore by 6.
All right, so a little bit of differential there. But
yep. I just would love to hear what they would think.
I know, I would have loved to have heard that, but unfortunately, they had prior commitments tonight. So you know what? I'll take over from here, Jeff. Next game.
Turn down for what?
This next one features two teams that are back in Pigskin Pick'em for this week. And it is the Vikings hosting Green Bay.
Minnesota, Green Bay. Where is this game?
I just said Minnesota hosting Green Bay. Do you listen? Put your headphones on and put those cans on.
I was trying to also write down this stuff too, so that way we can have written documentation besides what you have. So it's also called checking yourself. And now,
but you're wrecking yourself. Damn.
Weak. Anyway, so because Green Bay was able to pull up a nail-biting win in Dallas last week, and Aaron Rodgers might be the best quarterback under 2 minutes that's not named Tom Brady, he won't need that this week against Minnesota. Minnesota got lucky last week because they played a bad Bears team. They actually play a good team. They're going to falter. Packers win it by 13.
All right, so I will say this for both of them. They also pick Green Bay, but Steve goes with 9. And Dan does the thing that he hates the most without realizing it as he picks Green Bay by 10.
Why does he hate that?
Just because it's like that Price is Right thing where you do like, I go $100 and I go 101.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, but I don't think he really.
No, he didn't realize it because he doesn't know Steve's numbers.
Yeah.
So Dan unintentionally did the thing he hated so much.
He hates the most. I know. Yep. Well, sorry, Danny, but you just did it. So now, Jeff. Next game.
Turn down for what?
All right, so next game we have right now, that one will be, what will the Chargers do against Oakland in the black hole?
And they will lay a gigantic turd in the black hole. Raiders win it by 14.
That's really it?
Yeah, that's really it. The Chargers.
No analysis?
Why do I have to? The Chargers suck. They got lucky last week beating a bad Giants team. The Chargers flat out suck. They can't even draw 30,000 people into a friggin' soccer stadium. Give me a break.
Even though it's in Oakland?
Yeah, well, no. I'm just saying that's how bad the Chargers suck if they can't do that at home games. Raiders by 14.
All right, so both your cohorts also picked Raiders, but they thought it was a closer game. Steve goes Raiders by 6, while Dan goes Raiders by 9. So there you go.
All right, so
another diverse pick game in terms of predictions.
At least he's not going the Price is Right rule on this one. Yep. All right. So now, for the last time today, Jeff, next game.
Turn down for what?
And this one is why I wanted Dan to be here.
Oh, no. Second straight week.
No.
Third straight week.
No.
That's who I'm thinking of.
You're wrong.
It's not them?
It's another team he likes a lot. It's the Jaguars.
Yes, Bortles Mania. So I was
Bortles Mania
right.
Returns.
Second straight week. No, second time in 3 weeks.
Yes.
Okay.
As they host the LA Rams. So let me read what both our hosts predicted.
Go ahead.
And, Dan doesn't believe in Bortles Mania as he goes Rams by 3. Probably because of how well LA has been doing and how well their offense has been clicking.
And how well the Jags have been playing, I'm guessing.
Well, no, how bad the Jags have been playing.
All right.
Except he still thinks that yes, last week's win was a complete farce, I guess. And right. Though Steve picks, Jaguars will get the win by 12. Now, what will Matt go for?
The Rams offense is better than Jacksonville's. It's going to be a nail, but it's going to be a close game. Rams win it by a touchdown.
I mean, Jags fans are going to have something to really root for and be entertained by?
Yeah. Rams win it by 7.
Rams win by 7?
Yeah.
All right.
Rams win it by 7. And with that, Jeff, shut it down.
Turn down for what?
And it seems like that's about all that we have for now.
Is that just for the Rams? Is that just for Pigskin Pick'em?
No, that's
just
overall.
Period?
That's period for this.
All right.
No, we're done. We're not going to be recording anymore. We're done with this series. We're not going to be going on anymore. No more airtime for us. We're done for as a show.
And on that note, we have run out of time. We will talk to you again next week. Hopefully,
just said we have no more show time in us.
Hopefully with one of our cohorts back. Hopefully Danny will be
back. No more
next
show.
Week. Fine. Check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/SalixSports. Twitter at @S_S_Sports. Check us out on our blog, ssonsports.blogspot.com. All the latest episodes are on iTunes. Every piece of audio is on SoundCloud. Just search Sully and Steve on Sports. Hit download. You can take us with you wherever you go. And if you have any questions, concerns, comments, or whatever you don't want to leave on social media, email SollySteveOnSports@gmail.com. For everybody working hard behind the scenes, and for Jeff, I'm Sully. We will be back same time, same place next week. See ya.
your body right. Backstreet's back, all right. Again, brothers, sisters, everybody sing. Gonna bring the flame, I'll show you.